We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Hey, welcome today. Great to have you here at St. Martin C3, and it's good to be back. I've been away. Some of you who are new are going, well, who are you and where you've been? I'm Warren, and I'm the pastor here. I work alongside a great team who have been looking after you well, I think, while I've been away. So, there's a few nods. So, yeah, good on the team here. And just to let you know what I've been doing the last couple of weeks, interesting singing that song, Waymaker. We sang that in Savu Savu, which is on the southern tip of the northern island of Fiji. If anyone been to Savu Savu before, it's pretty remote. Danny has, he's flown in and out of there. Savu Savu is the place where they film Australian Survivor. So if you've ever seen Australian Survivor, there you go, you got a bit of a familiarity with Savu Savu. It's a reasonably small town of between 5 and 10,000 at a guess, I would say, in the surrounding area. It's rainforest everywhere, so bugs everywhere. It was raining quite a bit when we were there. So I took Joel, my son, with me, and we had a great opportunity to minister into the C3 Savu Savu Church in particular over the last couple of weeks. And then midweek we ministered into the youth group, and also they gathered pastors from all over the C3 churches around Fiji, which is about 6 churches, almost 7 in Fiji, and they all gathered together for a leaders seminar, and I took that seminar with them for a couple of days. So that's what I've been doing, and it went very well, I think it was very well received what I had to share with them. We did have some challenging times the first week. We lived with the local pastor's family, and we weren't used to quite living Fijian style. Okay, so that was a bit of a challenge for Joel and I. You sleep on the floor, and there's nothing to protect you from the outside world. So it's a bit like camping, so to speak. But you can't even zip up your tent, you know. So we got eaten by mosquitoes for the first few nights until we kind of learnt to spray ourselves and bug spray and put out mosquito coils and things like that. So there was a few challenges like that along the way. And then you also get, you know, because there's like no noise barrier, there's no double glazing or anything like that. So roosters and dogs and animals and they have these lizards that crawl around the ceiling and they poop on you. And it's a great, you know, it's a great cross-cultural experience. You think. So that was great for Joel. Joel hadn't sort of been exposed to a very different culture before, and for the first few days he was kind of going, well, this is a bit challenging. But the pastor's family, he's got kids the same age and boys similar age to Joel, so once he learnt how to do crab hunting and all this sort of stuff, he was like, oh, this is great. So in the end he didn't want to leave, so that was a real positive experience for him. And one of the things that we noticed over there is there is this fantastic enthusiasm amongst the young people of Fiji. Fiji has had a tremendous mission work in years gone by, and many churches is established. Many more people in the population, percentage-wise, in Fiji would go to church than here in New Zealand. The downside, though, is over the years, that's become a very much a religious duty for the Fijians. And when you actually look at how that actually translates to their daily life and is there a vibrancy to their faith, you kind of go, it's somewhat lacking. And so there are churches like C3 and others that are providing an emphasis on how it's all about a relationship with God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the difference that makes in people's lives. And young people are catching on to this, that church isn't just about showing up in your all whites on Sunday, which is what they do in Fiji. I don't know how they keep them clean, but they do. But it's about a relationship with God. And we just sharing with some of these young people and just seeing the vibrancy of their faith was really, really inspiring. And it somewhat shapes the message, or some of the messages that are coming as we lead up to Christmas. We are going to go into a new series where we are looking at Prepare Him Room. And today we are looking at, how do we keep that enthusiasm? How do we keep that passion alive for God? We're making room for God in our lives. And today, as we look at a couple of stories around the birth of Christ, we're contrasting two men who approached it very differently. So let's have a look at the first guy. Luke chapter 1, verse 5, we're going to read about Zechariah. Luke 1, verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. So these are good people, good church-going people. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. This was an incredible privilege. It's only a couple of times a year that a priest from Israel would go into the very holy of holies. And he was allowed to do this. He was one of the chosen few. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." Pretty cool promise. "He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now you'd think Zechariah would go, "Wow, that's amazing." But Zechariah asked the angel, "How can you be so sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, with quite a grumpy voice, I suspect, "I am Gabriel. I stand before the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you'll be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he had stayed in the temple so long. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among my people." So, I've got this guy, Zechariah. He's a religious guy. He's like you. He goes to church every Sunday. He is devoted to his faith. He has a good reputation for being a person of faith. He is committed to God. He's doing his best with what he knows to do. But there's no expectation here. As he goes into the very place that you would expect to meet with God, he has no expectation that anything's actually going to happen. He's just going to go, "Okay, well, I've got to burn incense. Well, I'll take the incense in and, you know, light it and do my thing in the Holy of Holies and leave." There's no expectation in his life to meet with God. There's no value of what the angel says to him. Imagine given a direct promise. An angel shows up to your place tonight and says, "Okay, here's some promises for the next few years of your life." You know, and would you be amazed by that? Well, I hope so. Absolutely. And you would value it. You'd go, "Wow, God, this is amazing." But, you know, Zechariah's kind of like, yeah, really? You know, like, who are you again? You know, and there's absolutely no faith that God's actually going to follow through on what he said he's going to do. It's staggering, really, when you think about it. Let's contrast that with someone else who's around the time of Jesus' birth. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Simeon, who's also in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated before the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, or the revelation of the Messiah, if to want of a better way to put it. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Now, just pause there for a minute. There would have been many couples and many young kids, because every Jewish male had to go through this process, unfortunately, in Israel. So the temple courts was a busy place. It was heaving with people. It's not like Joseph and Mary were the only ones there, and Simeon went in and went, oh, well, it's obviously them I'm meant to talk to. Like, this was a busy place. Unlike Zechariah, where he's in the Holy of Holies, and the only person that could be there would be God. You know, this is a busy marketplace, a very different scene. Verse 27, by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of all the people of Israel. Now, get this. Simeon gets all of this from just seeing a baby, Jesus, right? And going, you know, just another baby like any other baby. And he sees all of that, and Zechariah gets a vision from an angel and doesn't get it. Like, you see the contrast of faith between these two people is staggering. The child's father and mother marveled at what had been said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Notice what Simeon, the attitude, the heart, the spirit that Simeon brings to this encounter. The Holy Spirit is upon him. It doesn't describe Zechariah that way, but the Holy Spirit is upon Simeon. There is an awareness of God in Simeon's life. There is a worshipful life. There's a prayer life there in Simeon. There is a spirit that's been developed in him where he knows God and he's aware of his presence. He's aware of when God is speaking to him. He's aware of those little promptings that go now, talk to this person over here. I will reveal something to you. Notice that he also has in mind the greater picture of what's happening in Israel. Keep in mind here, for 400 years, Israel had no prophecy. There was no hope. There was hope for a Messiah, but that was prophesied 700 years previously. And yet, here's the faith of Simeon going, I believe this will happen in my lifetime. God, I don't want to die until I see your Messiah. That's faith. It stands in complete contrast to Zechariah. And how do we make sure that we have that faith, that vibrancy, that zeal that Simeon has and not be like Zechariah? Because this Christmas time, God will be revealing things to you. He'll want your heart to be open to receive from him and go deeper in him. Are we going to be distracted by all the shopping and the events and all other things that we have to do? Or are we actually going to pick up on the cues like Simeon did and go deeper with God? Or are we going to be religious like Zechariah and miss it even when God's kind of hitting us with a 4x2? So what did Simeon do? What did Simeon do that made him more aware of God's presence? Well, first of all, he had obviously developed a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's promptings in his life. Like this wasn't, this day that he met with Joseph and Mary and saw Jesus was just another ordinary day. It wasn't like a unique day. There was no star in the sky like when Jesus was born for the wise men to follow. No, this was just another ordinary day for Simeon. But he was aware enough of God's presence and God's voice to go, this is the day I'm going to see the Messiah. Where is he, Lord? Show me. So the question I have for us today is, are you aware of God's presence? Are you aware of God speaking to you? It's so important. One of the mums here in church, she had an interesting story with me during the week. She said, oh, Warren, I've got to tell you the story. She was over at work in Littleton, and she just got this prompting to come to school here at Hillview. Her daughter comes to school here, but she thought, yes, her daughter had left her lunch behind, but that wasn't new, and she didn't usually rescue her daughter by bringing in her lunch. And so she kind of questioned God a bit on that and went, okay, God, hang on. If I take my daughter's lunch in, then, you know, that's actually reinforcing bad behavior in my child that she can forget it. So I'm not going to do that, you know. But if you want me to go to school, I'll go to school. So she comes in here to Hillview, and just before she arrives, one of the other families here, their daughter broke her arm this week, and she's got a nursing background, and she was able to just like step into that situation and provide comfort and diagnose that it was a break and the need for her to go to hospital and things like that, and she was like going, she was just quite buzzed out by just how cool it is to just listen to those little Holy Spirit promptings. So that we're in the right place at the right time to do what God's called us to do. And that's what Simeon's life was like. He was sensitive to the Holy Spirit's presence. He had developed that discipline of worship and prayer in his life so that he was aware of God's presence and aware of God's voice. Never let that slip in your life. Now, I know that some people say, oh, yeah, but I'm going through a desert place at the moment. And I go, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. You know, now, I might be being a wee bit controversial here. The thing is, I think there are times where the voice of God or the presence of God, we don't feel it as sharply, as acutely as other times, and we've got to wrestle with that a bit. I understand that, and it could be God transitioning us in our relationship where we go a bit deeper and we push into him. But I don't believe that is an extended time. I struggle with that a bit because God wants to draw you closer to him. So if you're in that place today where you're going, I haven't heard from God for a while, I haven't sensed God's presence for a while, could I encourage you to do this? Ask God. God, why? I want to know your presence. I want to hear your voice. So what's going on? Is there something in me? Is there something that I'm not aware of? Is there a place where you want to go deeper with me? Like, but don't just settle for it. Don't just accept it. Somewhere along the way, Zechariah accepted that, to not experience the presence of God, to not experience the voice of God, that's kind of normal. So you just show up and you put on your priestly garments and you do your religious duty like we do. You know, you show up in church, you put on your clothes, you be nice to people, and that's kind of it. And you just accept that, that's my lot in life. No, don't accept it. There is more. God wants to be close to you. He wants you to know his presence. He wants you to know his voice. And there is something wrong if we don't. Secondly, Simeon stayed connected to God's purpose. He stayed connected to God's bigger purpose. It seems like Zechariah was just going through the motions. If he was a priest, he was probably born into the right family, so he just inherited the job. He didn't have to work for the job. It was just part of his family line, meant that he was a priest. He was just sort of fulfilling what he had done. And maybe you come to church just because that's what your family's always done. And you're just going through the religious motions. But there is so much more. There is a very real, deep relationship with God that will transform your life that God has for you. And don't accept that that church is all there is, or religion is all there is. We're here, we gather together because there is a relationship with God that we all have. And Simeon knew this. And you can see that in his prophecy, he's not just prophesying about a Messiah for Israel, but a light to the Gentiles. You see, Simeon had this bigger picture that most people around him had no idea about. And he held on to that. And that took him into a deeper relationship with God. And it will do the same for you. There is a transition in our journey of faith with God where I think he takes us for the first maybe a year or 2 years when we first come to faith. God does a lot of work in us, right? Well, I hope he's done that for you, you know. It's amazing. He's working out all this sin in your life, and he's renewing your mind, and he's changing you from the inside out. And hopefully that process is still going on, that process of sanctification in our lives. But there becomes a point where it's not just about what he wants to do in us, it's about what he wants to do through us. And we're still looking for God to show up in the inner work, whereas God's saying, no, I'm now working out here. Are you going to join me out here in what I'm doing around you, not just in you? And it's not until we actually develop his heart and his passion for mission around us in the world that we actually go to that deeper place in our relationship with him. Shall I say this, to put it more bluntly, I think this is what Paul was talking about when people were still on milk and not moving on to solid food, is that, you know, we're still going, oh, just feed me, change me, Lord. You know, I'm here to receive. And God's going, well, that's great, you've received, but now I actually want you to walk and talk and learn and do things. That the joy for God is not just seeing you grow and change, but partnering with you in this journey of faith. And so as you start to share your faith with others, as you start to take other people on that journey of faith, you see God working there. And you go, wow, that's so exciting. And it becomes about what God's doing around you, not just in you. And Simeon was that sort of guy. It wasn't all about him. It was about his nation, and even beyond his nation to the Gentiles around him. So a couple of things we learn from Simeon's life. Number one, he was aware of God's presence and his promptings in his life. He was connected to that greater purpose. Here's the third one. Simeon put confidence in what God had revealed. Unlike Zechariah, who gets met by an angel, right there. And even in that moment, you'd think, well, he can't doubt, but he does. So right in that moment, he doesn't. Whereas Simeon had been given a word from God, I don't know how long before, but it seems to indicate decades before. And every day he's coming before God and going, is today the day I'm going to see the Messiah? No. Is today the day? 60 years later, or whatever, how long it is. But Simeon's still holding out faith that God will do it. Not only do we go deeper in our relationship with God when God gives us an awareness of his presence, an awareness of his word, but we go deeper when we're connected to his purpose, and we go deeper when we take steps of faith. One of the things that was very apparent to Joel and I in Fiji is, man, we so take our life here in New Zealand for granted. Last week, literally this time last week, we had to set up church like we do here, but this is like on a solid concrete floor underneath a house that's up on poles. The wind's blowing in and everything's getting blown around, and they have to bring the TV down and set it up. They put tarps on the floor and then they just sit on the floor, and oh, that, when you're not used to sitting on a concrete floor for an hour or so, that's pretty tough going. Fortunately, I could get up and preach, so I got to move around. But just some of the stories that they were sharing were incredible. They have really high coconut, I'll just give you one example. They have really high coconut trees there. And some of the young people, it's staggering really, they climb up these trees. Now, I'm like, they are literally would be higher than the apex of this roof. They're really high. And they climb up these coconut trees, and then they drop the coconuts from one tree, and then they jump. Yeah, they jump from one tree to another tree. Okay, and so one of the young people in the youth group was doing this. This was a few months ago now. Jumped from one tree to another, and he fell. And he didn't just fall on like a bush or grass. He fell on like a stony driveway, and they went, "Oh my goodness." By the time they got to him, he was completely unconscious. So obviously they called an ambulance and they started praying. They got him in the ambulance, was performing CPR. You'll be proud, Kieran, they did know first aid and were performing CPR. And then in a few minutes, he came around, and then they kept praying. By the time they got to hospital, get this, no broken bones. No ongoing injuries whatsoever. And they said, can't see anything wrong with them. Not even a concussion, and they just send them home. And you're just like going, okay, it would be good if the incident didn't happen in the first place. They actually had a new rule in church. They said, no climbing coconut trees, okay? or jumping between them. You know, it might be a good idea as well. And so, you know, you could put those things in place. But there's just this faith level, isn't there, when you're in an environment where you haven't got all the resources to rely on here, or maybe we don't do some silly stuff like that. But anyway, Joel was really inspired by the faith level of these young people and what they were believing God for and what they were seeking God for. And we need that faith edge in our lives too, don't we? We were taking steps of faith into what God's calling us next into. So here's the question I have for you today. What has God put on your heart to do, and are you taking a step of faith into that? Where's the faith edge in your life? Or have you settled back for what's comfortable and easy? When you look at the life of Zechariah, he had stepped back. Oh, I'm not hearing the voice of God and the presence of God, oh, I'll just do my religious duty. Oh, God may have a bigger picture, but I'm kind of not seeing it, so I'll just do what I've always meant to do. Oh, I see other people taking steps of faith, but oh no, that looks a bit risky for me. I'll just settle for what I've always known. Don't settle. Let's not settle in our life. Let's not settle in our faith and just think that what we're experiencing of God or what God is doing through us now is okay. No, there's more. There is always more that God is taking us into. More of His presence that we're to know. More of His voice that we can hear. More of faith that we can step into. More of His purpose that we can step into. There is always more. Don't shrink back. Don't be like a Zechariah and just go through the religious motions. Keep pressing into a deeper relationship with God this Christmas season. Keep going after what He has called you to do. Keep going after His purposes for your life. There is so much more. Let us never settle for less. Let's keep raising our expectations.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.